Revelation chapter 5. I didn't have to struggle with a title for the message. Worthy is the Lamb. Verse 12. All those redeemed with the blood sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, they say, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive all blessings, all honor, and all glory. The grand design of God's redemption is all about the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of God's salvation is so designed and intended to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ now and forever and ever and ever. He is worthy. He is worthy. Remember in chapter 4, look at verse 11. Chapter 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are, and they were created. God's purpose, God's pleasure. Worthy is the Lamb. Look at chapter 5, verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to fulfill the book, because you were slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's no wonder that the message of John the Baptist was, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away our sin. He takes away our sin by bearing it away. You remember 1 Peter 2:24? He bare our sin in his own body on the tree. And then 1 Peter 3:18 says that he suffered once for our sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. We just read 1 Peter 1:18, where he says, we are redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad you have such a Lamb? Aren't you glad you have such a sacrifice, such a Savior, such a God who provides salvation for us through a substitute named the Lord Jesus Christ, bearing our sin in his own body on the tree? No wonder the Apostle Paul said, I'm determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the Lamb. The Lamb is his sacrificial character. All through this book, we're going to see the glory of the Lamb, the beauty of the Lamb, the power of the Lamb on the throne of God. He's a sacrifice that has all power to put away our sin. Now, you remember from last week in the message, we saw the vision that John was given, and that vital question was asked, who is worthy? Verse 2, and the strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice that who was worthy to open the book and to loose the seals. And a search was made. No man in heaven was worthy. No man in the earth was worthy. No man under the earth was worthy or able to open the book, neither to look on it. And John said, I started crying. I wept much. And one of the elders said, don't weep. There's a time to weep and a time to rejoice. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, he hath prevailed to satisfy God's law and justice. He's prevailed to put away our sin. He's prevailed to establish righteousness. He prevailed to fulfill every type, picture, promise, and pattern in Scripture. He has prevailed to accomplish all our salvation. He said, it is finished. It is finished. It is finished. No man was worthy or able to open the book, to read the book, to look on the book, to fulfill the book, but the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad and thankful for him? Our Lord comes, and it says there that he was a lamb that was slain, having seven horns, all power, seven eyes, all knowing, the seven spirits of God. He had the Spirit of God without measure, sent forth into all the earth. And this one, verse 7, said, he came. He came before the throne of God the Father. He came before that throne of majestic power and holiness. He came and he took the book. Imagine that. He took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. The Lord Jesus Christ stepped up to the throne of God Almighty and rightfully takes the book from the hand of God the Father, and God the Father willingly gives him the book because he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." The Father is well pleased with the Son and he gives the book. One old preacher of the past said this: "As the mediator and surety of the covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ took the book. As God our Savior, he gave the book." You see, he is a sacrifice, and he is the one to whom the sacrifice was offered, unto God our Savior. He's a surety, the mediator, and the sacrifice of the everlasting covenant. Notice the language. It says here he came. He didn't beg for the book. He didn't ask for the book. He stepped up to the throne of God and he took the book. He took the book from the hand of Almighty God. He took it not by violence, not by fraud, not by deceit, but by the righteousness and the merit of God that he established, and by God's eternal purpose. God decreed that the Lamb who is worthy should take the book. Now this book here is all the decrees of God. All the decrees of God. God hath from the beginning decreed all things that come to pass in time. These things we see happening in our day, they all come to pass because God hath from the beginning determined and accomplished and purposed to do these things. The Lord Jesus Christ took the book. No one else could. No one else had the right to, but the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you give thanks for our blessed Savior and surety, the Lord Jesus Christ. And think about this. I thought about this when I was on this thought. Think about this. Included in this book, the book of God's decree, was what? Included in that book was the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He willingly took that book knowing what was in it, that he must lay down his life for his people. He knew what was written in the book, and yet he did not hesitate to take the book and to fulfill it as our substitute. Well, what love. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Now, hold your place there. I want you to turn and read this with me. We've looked at this many times, but turn to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Remember, the Lord said to his disciples, I must go to Jerusalem. Matthew 16, 21. And from that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem, that he must suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Well, Peter thought he knew better. Peter took him and said, began to rebuke him, saying, "Lord, be it far from thee. This shall not be. I don't want to see you suffer." Look what the Lord said. He turned and said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is no accident. He dies on purpose. God's purpose, to put away our sin. He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who has the right to take the book, to fulfill the book upon his righteousness, upon his sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ bought the rule. He bought the right to rule over all creatures everywhere. He rules this entire universe for his own will and own purpose. Now listen to this scripture. Romans 14:9. "For to this end, to this purpose, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living." He's every man's Lord, and he bought that right. with his redeeming blood. He not only took the book of God's eternal decree, but he also completely fulfilled all things for us. Remember the Lord's words when he ministered among men? The first words he spoke as just a 12-year-old boy in the temple, he said, "I must be about my Father's business." The Lord Jesus Christ came on business, the business of the Father's will, to redeem us with his blood. In John chapter 4, when he began his public ministry, he said to his disciples, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." And then later, just on the eve of the cross, when he prays that intercessory prayer in John chapter 17, he said, "I've glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work you gave me to do." And then on Calvary's tree, when he yielded up the ghost. No man took his life. He laid it down. When he yielded up the ghost, he said, "It's finished. It's done. It's done." The Lord Jesus Christ came and took the book and fulfilled all things therein for us. Now look at verse 8. What happens when he takes the book? "And when he had taken the book, by right, by righteousness, those four beasts who represent the ministers of the gospel, and those 24 elders representing all the elect of God, redeemed with the blood of Christ, they fell down before the Lamb." Why did they fall down? They fell down to worship the Lamb, "having every one of them harps." Harps are instruments of praise. "And they had golden vials full of odors." Again, this is symbolic language. "Golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints." Now, I see two things there. I see harps and I see prayers. In other words, harps are instruments of praising the Lord. "Praise the Lord, O my soul." We've seen that all through the book of Psalms, haven't we? Harps are instruments of praise. "We make melody in our hearts unto the Lord, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts unto the Lord." That's the harps of praise. God's people praise the Lord Jesus Christ. They honor and worship him. And then he mentions there the prayers. So we're a praying people, we're a praising people, and then we're a singing people. "The golden vials of odors," or incense, "which are the prayers of the saints." Now, what makes our prayers sweet before the throne of Almighty God? What makes our prayers acceptable unto God? It's only through the blood offering of the Lord Jesus Christ. He ever lives to intercede for us. He takes our prayers and sweetens them with the power of his blood and presents them to the Father. "Golden vials full of odors, incense, which are the prayers of the saints." God's people are a praising people. They are a praying people. What did we study in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? "Rejoice in the Lord. In everything give thanks. Pray without ceasing. And in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Now look at verse 9. "And they sing." God's people love to sing about the glory of Christ. "And they sing this new song." It's a new song. It's a song of redemption. "Saying," here's how the words go, "Thou art worthy to take the book." We agree. The only one who was worthy in heaven, earth, or hell to open the book, to fulfill the book, to reveal the redemptive will of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, because thou wast slain, sacrificed himself for us. And through that sacrifice, what did he do? He redeemed us. He redeemed us. He bought us with his own blood. He redeemed us to God. He bought us and brought us to God. by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that precious blood that Peter writes about, redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, and he redeemed the people out of, you see that? Don't miss that, out of every kindred. Now, how many people is that? Out of every kindred. Every nation. Every tongue. How many languages do people speak? Thousands. And people. God has his elect everywhere in this world. That's why he told his church to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The ministers of the gospel of Christ and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, bought with his blood, love to sing about the accomplishment of the victorious atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior who really saves. He's the Redeemer who really redeems. He redeemed us. He didn't try to redeem. He didn't make an effort at redeeming. He actually made complete atonement, full atonement for all the sin of God's people. The Lord Jesus Christ has won the victory for us. He bought us with his own blood. This new song, the saints of God have been singing this song for a long, long time, but it's always new. It never grows old. It never grows old. I read this, I think, Wednesday night, Psalm 98. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. For he had done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm had gotten him to victory. Thanks be unto God who's given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ indeed is worthy to take the book, to open the book, to fulfill the book, because, number one, look what it says, that word for is rendered, because Christ was slain. Christ was slain. What does that mean? That means he died for our sin. He died for our sin according to the scripture. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel, foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified the Lord of glory. He died, he was slain for our sin. Now you think about that. The reason of his death, sin deserves what? Death. The reason of his death is our sin. When sin was put on him, when our sin was reckoned to him, all the sin of God's people reckoned to him. He's made sin for us, guilty for us. The law of God demanded death. The guilty must die. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ died. He died on God's purpose, because God purposed for him to bear the sin of his people and to put them away. He redeemed us. He was slain. He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He redeemed us. That word redeemed means bought. It means delivered. He bought us to God. He brings us to God through his blood sacrifice. By thy blood, he has redeemed us unto our God. What kind of redemption did he obtain for us? He didn't bring, as the great high priest, he didn't bring the typical animal sacrifice, did he? He said, not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with his own blood, he obtained for us, what? With his own blood, he obtained for us eternal redemption. We are redeemed forever. He put away our sin forever. And Christ has redeemed his people alone, his elect alone. He has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Now, it doesn't say that he redeemed every man out of every nation, doesn't it? He said he redeemed the people out of. So what is that teaching us? When we talk about the atonement of the Lord, his death, his shedding of his blood, for whom did the Lord Jesus Christ die? Now think with me. For whom did the Lord Jesus Christ die? It said here, he redeemed a people out of every tribe, nation, kindred, and tongue. That means the Lord Jesus Christ died for specific people. That means he died for his sheep. That means he laid down his life for his covenant children. So that teaches us what we call particular redemption. That teaches us what we call a definite atonement. The Lord Jesus Christ came to redeem those people given to him in that covenant of grace. So we do not preach a universal redemption, do we? No. We preach a particular redemption. He redeemed his covenant people, his covenant children. That's what this book teaches. He said in John 10, I laid down my life for the sheep. He said he loved the church. Paul wrote he loved the church and gave himself for it. Who are those people? Those elect, chosen from the beginning, given to the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father made him our surety and substitute and sacrifice, and he put away our sin. Christ hath redeemed us unto our God. And look what it says in verse 10. He made us. He made us. Now, we don't make ourselves believers. We don't make ourselves new creatures. We are not our own Savior. We are not our own Redeemer. He made us. What did Paul say? By the grace of God, I am what I am. Everything I know, everything I have, everything I will be. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. He has made us, not we ourselves. Doesn't it say that in the Psalms? He has made us, not we ourselves. What did he make us? Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. He made us, our God, unto our God. He's made us kings and priests unto our God. And we shall reign on the earth. We reign in him. He's made us kings and priests unto our God. Have we read that before? Turn back to chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Look at verse 5 and 6. We are a kingdom of priests. We've been made heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 1 verse 5. Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests, heirs of God, unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion and honor forever. Glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So be it. Amen. Now look back at chapter 5. So he made us. We are his people. He made us. He chose us. He bought us. He redeemed us. Makes us new creatures. Sounds to me like salvation of the Lord. Doesn't it sound to you that way? That's the way it is. Now look at verse 11. We shall reign on this earth with him. He's going to destroy this earth as we know it. Let me read this to you. He's going to destroy this earth as we know it right now. Everybody's all up in arms about global warming. I don't believe in global warming. I believe in global burning. He's going to burn this place up. Listen to this, 2 Peter 3. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. For 2 Peter 3, 16. And the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, everything you see with your eye today is passing away. What manner of persons you ought to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, when the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. God's going to destroy this place, and he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness, and we shall reign with him on the earth. Talk about that new earth. A new heaven, new earth. Now, look at verse 11. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels. These are the elect angels of God. Many angels, thousands and thousands of them, round about the throne. And those four living creatures were there, ministers of the gospel, and all the elders representing the elect of God, the church of God, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands. Now, I'm not very good at math, but I know this. That's a lot of folks. That's all the elect angels. That's all the redeemed of the Lord Jesus Christ. All redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. And here's what they say. Verse 12. With a loud voice, the angels and all the elect of God redeemed by the blood of Christ, all saying with a loud voice, Christ is worthy. The Lord Jesus Christ is worthy. He's worthy. He's the Lamb that gives the worthy sacrifice for our sin, that was slain to receive all power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. And every creature, every tongue going to confess, every knee is going to bow that Jesus Christ is Lord. But it says here, every creature, all those in heaven, all the elect angels, all the redeemed of God in heaven, and those on the earth, when the Lord comes back, they'll be changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye. Those under the earth, all creatures that dwell in the earth, and all those that are swimming in the sea, all those that crawl through the earth, all of them heard I saying, all of creation is going to say, blessing, honor, glory, and power be unto him that sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever and ever. Everything is made to glorify Christ. And the four beasts said, those four living creatures, ministers of the gospel, what do they say? Amen. I'm glad it's that way. Amen. And all the elect of God, the 24 elders, they fell down and worshiped him that lived forever and ever and ever. Everything, ultimately, everything serves the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember what we studied Wednesday night? This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. This is the Lord's doing. Our Lord Jesus Christ reigns supreme without any rivals, without difficulty, without any possibility of his will not being done. He does his will in heaven and in the earth, and no one can stay his hand. The kingdom of God is safe and secure in his hands. The eternal glory of the Lord Jesus Christ is certain and sure, ordered in all things and is sure. All the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, and amen, and to the glory of God. And they said, what did they say? They said, amen. And they worship him who lives forever and ever. We worship him now by his grace, and we worship him in spirit and in truth. But in that day of eternal glory and eternal praise, we'll worship the Lord Jesus Christ perfectly, without any distraction, without any hesitation, without the frailty of this sinful flesh. We'll see him as he is and be like him and worship him. What a day to look forward to. What a day to look forward to. We say amen. Amen. Now,